What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today, we're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves. As I continue going through all of these starting pitching rotations throughout the month of January, and of course, you could check it out on the site. I have all the written info on every single player, their projections for 2026, the one sheet that I use to analyze all these players, including the minor league app that I use to look up AAA guys and their fastballs and their pitch movement and all the extra details. All of that is via PL Pro, but you can read the article for free on the site without those projections and whatnot. But Chris Sale is the first one we have to talk about. And when we had 2024, it was wonderful. It was a miracle. He survived for so long. He only had an injury at the very end of the year and he was a stud. And then last year, well, he was still a stud, but it wasn't for very long. In fact, he had an incredible outing. He almost went the complete game shutout, but then he dove for a ball against Brandon Nimmo, cracked a rib, and that was that for a long time. So Chris Sale is old. Chris Sale is unlikely to have another 160-inning season. Our projections actually do say maybe it's possible. And I can't tell you that it is. One of the things I've been really pushing this year is saying, look, just don't give yourself extra anxiety where you don't need to. I'm not saying that no pitchers can get injured. I'm sorry, that no pitcher is injury free, that there are clear guys who are going to be workhorses and clear ones who are going to get injured. Look at George Kirby last year, Logan Gilbert, Corbin Burns, all these guys had setbacks when they were the stalwarts of innings, right? That said, guys like Glasnow and Blake Snell and Chris Sale and Jacob DeGrom, yes, DeGrom even after last season, these are clear injury-prone arms who are unlikely, very unlikely, to have more than 150 innings, more so than the others. And all I'm going to tell you is there are so many good pitchers out there. Why do you feel the need to go for someone like Chris Sale? So I have him around, I want to say 18, 17 in this little grouping of the four guys I mentioned, of those anxiety-riddled guys. I wouldn't do it. And not to mention, he's getting older. He can't pitch like a stud forever. Even though it was a 2.58 ERA and 107 whip and a 32% K rate last year, it's not a guarantee that he's going to be exactly that again when he does pitch. So throw that in the mix as well. It's just a little bit tough. Then there's Spencer Schwellenbach, 152 innings in his rookie year. I remember him coming up being really impressed with the wide arsenal and his command. The four-seamer was the question mark of the group. And what does he do in 2025? He does so much better. 390 ERA and a .97 whip with that same K rate with a four-seamer that was a tick or two even higher. Massive improvement. And then he fractured his elbow. Michael King had the same thing. We actually talked about it inside of the Twitch stream, which, by the way, 8 a.m. every single weekday morning, I am streaming as I go through all of these teams with you. We had a great conversation today about this with WaveBoy24, where Michael King had a fractured elbow in 23, came back in that season, threw really well for the Yankees, and after that had a phenomenal 2024, the one that we know. So it's possible that Spencer Schmelbach has the same story of saying, look, this isn't like a strained UCL. The UCL's intact. It's the elbow. And he claims, quote, if everything goes as planned, I'll be ready for spring training. I am less inclined to go for injured starters who did not pitch at the end of the previous season. Cole Reagans pitched at the end of last year. Jacob DeGrom in 2024 pitched at the end of that year. That made me encouraged for 2025. And Schwellenbach did not get back onto the bump in time, which has me more questionable about his return and the optimism and that he's going to be A-OK, because it's not just about pitching again. It's about pitching again and then having a regular offseason and spring training to be back to normal. So I'm a little bit hesitant. I think there's too much of an assumption that he's going to be pitching at the same quality when he does return. Inside the same article where he mentions if everything goes as planned, blah, 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 he did say, I can't really turn it off. Like, I wasn't trying to necessarily hit 97. I was just pitching and it happened to be that. He's not necessarily going to throw softer, which sounds really weird after you just fractured your elbow throwing that hard, but we'll see. I wonder where Spencer Schmelenbach goes in drafts. if it's inside the top 20 starting pitchers, I just can't do it. If it's inside the top 100, I don't think I can do it. But if it's in the top 125, if you're able to get him, and this is in your 12-teamers, and I know it sounds weird, but if you're able to get him as your SP 4 or 5, really your 5, I'd be really, really into that. Everyone says, are you joking? I need to make him my SP 3. Well, my whole philosophy is you go hitters and then you go hard into pitchers. And that might be round 7. So you go 7, 8, 9. And that really is right the turn of 100 or so. And then round 10, Spencer Schmalenbach, right? I don't think that's going to happen. I think pitchers are going to be going off the board super fast at that point. Spencer Schmalenbach won't be there. I'm just curious how it all shapes up after spring training and through everything. It might be a case where I go 5 straight hitters and then the cliff happens with hitters. So then you go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all starting pitchers after that. And maybe I get Schmalenbach in that case. We'll see. This is all for 12-teamers. Yes, you might call me crazy doing this. It's not your philosophy. That's fine. It's mine. Spencer Strider is also another injured pitcher that people are considering. Now, I say injured where he was injured last year and he's not fully back to normal. I am so out on Spencer Strider. I currently have him at SP 80. Keep in mind, the ranking system that I have groups all injured pitchers together around 40 through, or maybe it's like 50 through 60, 65. And that is going to change when we have a lot more insight closer to spring training in February about the stability and the health of these players. That said, Spencer Strider is not going to be much higher than that because I've never seen a scenario where you have a pitcher with an elite four-seamer who then gets Tommy John, comes back, has a non-elite four-seamer, which is with Spencer Strider. He lost extension, he lost vert, he lost arm angle, and he also lost velocity, like across the board. Worse extension, maybe not. Maybe it was like 6.9 extension instead of 7 or 6.8. Not big a deal there. But the fly attack angle was not there either. And I've never seen this story, great fastball, TGA, worst fastball, where the next season they get the elite fastball back. I asked everyone I could think to give me one example, and I don't have one. If you have one, please, please tell me on Twitch, on the Discord, which is PL Plus only, but it's the greatest $5 a month you can ever spend to join our Discord and get all of the site ad-free. Tell me, because I want to know and change my thoughts about Spencer Strider. In my heart, I feel like they just rushed him. The Atlanta was going through such turmoil in April of last year where everybody was getting hurt and they needed a pitcher so badly. They didn't want to bring up these prospects too early, so they rushed them back. But you saw how it worked with Woodruff. He needed that extra month or two. I think Strider did too. And I just do not believe he's going to be great again. I just don't, because it just never happens. His four-seamer had a 7.5% swing strike rate last year. Spencer Strider's four-seamer. Think about that. Oh, no. The 24% K rate from Strider, I think, is overblown because the slider had some absurd games, and he is just not the guy you want him to be. Hurston Waldrep has been getting some hype, and I am not a part of that train. He had a really fantastic season. It was a 2.88 ERA, 1.19 whip, 24% K rate last season with 56 innings. And more so, it was that his first six starts came with just 4 earned runs. And he won this award. He was the first one to do this in a full month, but it's also because he just happened to go at the very beginning of August and pitch on the 31st as well. So he happened to get 6 starts, which is very, very rare to see. And he also faced the Reds in Great American Small Park, the Marlins, the Guardians in Progressive Field, the White Sox, and then the Marlins. And then he did go to Citizens Bank Park against the Phillies, but that was a game where he had a lot of walks and had the greatest splitter game of his season with 13 whiffs, and nothing else was more than 8 otherwise. So what I'm trying to get at is Hurston Waldrep as a pitcher. It was a small sample size of success, and when you actually look at what he does, it's not convincing. He's a splitter-focused arm, and it was 32% usage last year with a 23% swing strike rate. Really good against righties, and I will give him props that he was able to command it super well against righties down. A lot of times with splitters, you'll see those miss too far arm side, and not with Waldrop. He did a really good job staying focused and on top of it. 100% want to give him props for it. And at the same time, it had just a 57% strike rate. When you were throwing your primary pitch, this is the most thrown pitch he has, essentially the pitch that you throw 32% of the time, and you're earning only 57% strikes with it, that is a problem. It's why he had a 9-10% walk rate last year. Then you look at the rest of the arsenal, and all of it is just so mid, if not even just bad. It's a cutter that he's leaning into more, which is good. I like that he is, but it's not a swing strike rate pitch. It got hit hard. It's not this really well-commanded cutter. And then he has a sinker at 96. Cool, but 7.6% swing strike rate, about 40% ICR. And all of his movement of Hurston Waldrop, all of it is so condensed where there isn't much movement separation, even with the curve and the slider as well. It's the smallest circle I think I've made of any starter among 4-plus pitches. It's wild to me. So when I think about Hurston Waldrop, I see a guy who's just so reliant on a splitter, and then the rest of his arsenal is just so ugh that I don't want to touch this. I think that you're going to get these games that Waldrop is amazing, where the splitter just takes over and guys can't do anything for whatever reason against the cutter and the sinker. And the slider is getting enough strikes, or maybe the curveball is, whatever. However, I think it's a hipster, headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. I don't think you'll have clarity and feel confident in Waldrop through the year. That's just how I see it with him, and I feel very, very cautious and not excited to have Waldrop in any league. Rounding out the rotation is Reynaldo Lopez. And I say the rotation because there's also Grant Holmes in here. But at the moment, it feels as though Lopez should be back and ready to go for spring training. And he had shoulder surgery last year, right at the beginning of the year in April, after one game. And the thing is, Reynaldo Lopez should be ready for the spring. They said they're going to keep him stretch him out as a starter. And he had that miraculous season in 2024. It was a 1.99 ERA in over 130 innings. That is just astonishing. And what I wrote last year was that Reynaldo Lopez should have some regression as the secondaries weren't getting enough strikes and his four-seamer wasn't getting beat as much as it should. But there might be some magic here. I think everyone is just kind of ignoring Reynaldo Lopez. And he's the perfect kind of guy to grab at the very end of a draft, or at least be aware of. If he has that rotation spot and you can pick him up even in season as the number 4 or 5, so you don't have to invest in him even the opening weekend, let's just see what happens. You know, he did it for 130 innings. It's not impossible that he does it again. It's unlikely. But maybe Reynaldo Lopez, I believe he gets the Tigers opening week. That would be the 4 and 5. I could be wrong. Maybe he actually does well on that and he's just kind of the same again and productive. Don't rule it out, but don't expect it. Now, we're going to talk about Grant Holmes and Bryce Elder and Joey Wentz as the other guys who are on the fringe. Just a couple other names to know, like AJ Smith-Shawver and Carlos Carrasco, but my gosh, we got to talk about their prospects. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys that I wrote up, and we're going to talk about all of them after this break. Okay. So we have Grant Holmes, the real estate broker, who had a UCL tear, and instead of getting surgery, he elected for rehab. He went to the classic doctor, the famous one, Dr. Neil Elatrache. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm very sorry. I should, but it's just a strange one, and I don't know. And he said, look, the doctor said, just let the scar tissue over. That was the quote. I think it meant heal over. And then what happened is December 9th, we got this quote saying from Holmes, my stuff's better now than when I was totally healthy. What? He's having a totally normal offseason now. And his stuff is better. I don't, okay. That seems weird. But maybe he is good enough. I kind of think of him just as a hipster, right? He was last year. It was nice for the strikeouts, and it felt like he was coming along a little bit. He had the slider working well. He's maybe working on that cutter to lefties, and that would be really cool. And, oh boy, I really would love to see that cutter with the slider, because you got to keep guys off of that four-seamer. He had a 30% K rate in 74 innings across 13 starts. That's nice, but it was a 123 whip. And he also got buoyed by games against Rocky Road and the Angels during that stretch. So we'll keep this, on tab. Like, we'll keep this on the side for Grant Holmes, the real estate broker, but I don't want to go for it in my 12 teamers. I feel it's way too hipster prone. And if there's something that I'm just trying as much as I can to do this year is avoid drafting any hipsters, stay at Williamsburg and live in Park Slope, where the safe and secure 90 plus inning pitches guys are, where you'll get more volume. And yes, avoid the true Tobys, or avoid the true, I used to call them pandas. It was like waiver wire fodder, the Worldwide Federation. But also would be like Patrick Sandoval. You want to avoid that. So there is a fine line, or that's a gray line, I should say, between the Toby and that. But I would still chase that kind of upside than the one like Holmes, who just drives you up the wall, right? I think that's a better play for you. Bryce Elder is more like that panda of the WWF, Worldwide Federation of Waiver Wire Fodder. Yeah, it's just not going to go well for you if you go for Elder. He did have that moment at the end of August and early September that you were hoping to rely on through your September playoffs. And it was sandwiched by 14 earned runs, that four-run, four-start stretch. No. He's a slider-sinker guy. He has these moments where the slider is really hard to hit and the sinker doesn't burn him. You don't want to go for it. Joey Wentz is actually someone I really like, because he did take a step forward last year. 6.5 feet of extension previously, and then that turned into 7 feet of extension last season, where he has a Blake Snell blueprint working. It's a cutter that turned into a slider during the year, keeps it down to both righties and lefties. Then a four-seamer he tries to keep up, and there are some starts he actually does do that. And then he added the changeup at the end of the year, and that was really cool too. There's also a curveball in the mix here. There's also a cutter. I think the cutter actually did disappear, but I think he might tweak it so that the slider and the cutter work in tandem a little bit. Because the cutter's like at 87, there's the 85 of the slider. At the end of the day, 7 feet extension at 93-94 with a changeup as a swatch, a southpaw with a tight changeup, and a really good slider that's well commanded. That's actually really interesting. The problem, I don't think that Joey Wentz is going to get a job out of camp, and then it's going to be really hard for him to demand a roster spot or a rotation spot in season. That's the issue here, because we do have these prospects who are very interesting, and then transferring Wentz into the rotation may be a difficult thing if he's doing well in the bullpen. So that's why I'm out on Wentz. Also, he does need to improve. It's not like he was amazing last year, too. When he joins the rotation, I'm not in. I need to see him actually have that changeup and be a swatch. So I'm not in, but I am certainly intrigued by Joey Wentz. AJ Smith-Shawver and Carlos Carrasco are part of the names to know, and they're completely opposite sides of the spectrum. AJ Smith-Shawver got Tommy John and is unlikely to be there in 2026, but he could return at the same time. If he does return, it's really more about 2027, because I would not be encouraging any sort of stash here. AJ Smith-Shawver was not looking great in my book as a four-seamer splitter arm, and just has a lot of things to tweak before we get excited about him. We have also Carlos Carrasco, who, yeah, like the Yankees last year, the Yankees used him as their number 5 instead of Will Warren because it was just found money. And then Atlanta desperately needed any starters, so they added him last year, and he's still on the team. So it's possible that Atlanta needs another starter to begin the year, just like the Yankees did last year, and he is getting some innings early, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets DFA'd and another team swoops in like the White Sox did last year with Adrian Hauser, that kind of scenario. Or even like Atlanta did last year. Some team might need that for Carlos Carrasco, but you don't want to go after that. His slider and changeup are getting worse and worse, and his fastballs, oh boy. Prospects, oh boy. He says it again. two sentences in a row. Oh boy. This is really fun. So we have Blake Burkhalter. He's in AAA and he's 25. So he's someone to focus on early because he might get the earliest shot. Him and J.R. Richie are among them. And I think I prefer Richie more. Burkhalter is a over-the-top four-seamer arm with a cutter underneath. And that's really the bread and butter. You have this 17-inch vert, 93-94 mile-per-hour fastball. But it's very cutty, right? It has a lot of cut action with it. It's right around the plane of 1,000 cuts, right? And then you have the cutter at 89 that is absolutely a separation from that cut fastball. And then there's this kick change that is a proper kick change, but he doesn't wield it well, and the curveball hasn't quite turned the corner to be that weapon against right-handers. So you have the fastball-cutter combo that can work, and he does like to go inside to lefties with both. And that's really cool. But then right-handers, the curveball isn't such a weapon that the four-seamer and curveball mix is great. So I'm a little hesitant on that. Also, he hasn't perfectly nailed that inside edge to lefties yet. He's missing outside of the zone too much so far. So I can see an innings eater if he is refining that fastball and that cutter. And maybe there's some strikeouts here with that curveball. And maybe the kick change, but I doubt the kick change. Kick change is really hard to get down. So I'm not really encouraged by this. I don't see him as a spec ad when he does arrive, Blake Burkhalter. On the other side of that was J.R. Richie. Now, he's also in AAA. He joined that in the middle of the summer last year. He's age 22, though. He's younger, and I think he's just more polished. He has intriguing upside, but not in the way that you normally know it. He's only 93-94. Maybe he's kind of pushing more 94-95. With a four-seamer that is not something exciting. It is not a good four-seamer. However, he does have a sinker that merges with a four-seamer at times, and my guess is it's to lefties it does, with more horizontal. But then he does have this actual sinker with 4 to 6 inches of vertical drop. This is J.R. Richie. That's kind of cool. And for a sinker-slider guy that doesn't really have horizontal, it's nice that he is focusing on that sink and does have something that is unique about the sinker and not just absolutely average, and thus it's actually bad. Now, the other stuff is very intriguing. The kick change is an absurd one. -3 vert. When I think about a kick change, I can recognize it quickly just because it's right around the x-axis, right? The dividing line of it really, where it's going from the positive to negative of the y-axis, but it's just crossing that plane of the x-axis, right? This was underneath it, -3. I don't see that. That is exceptional kick change drop, and he commands it actually better than I usually see. It's more strikes than you would think against lefties. It is a little too far up at times, but he is a more of a command-focused arm. At least control-focused arm, I should say. And I think there will be some success with this changeup in the majors against lefties, which is really cool. Because generally when you have these four-seamer sinker guys, it's about how do you deal with lefties. Now, there is a cutter that is showing up a little bit against lefties too, and I would love for J.R. Richie to embrace that. And the breaking stuff, I think the breaking stuff has a lot of potential. He has a sweeper that's being labeled as a slider, but it's a sweeper. And it's -13 horizontal. All right, it's not your +2 vert or whatever. It's a -13. It's a sweeper. And then you have a two-plane curve, and they're actually very close in velocity. The slider is sweeper is around 83-84, and then you have this two-plane curve that is very, very good two-plane curve around 81-82. Normally, I would see that like 77 or so. That pitch, especially to lefties with that sweeper, is really good. The sweeper is actually more reserved for righties, and he stays it away from righties. It's not necessarily the greatest located one, but at least he knows to stay away with it and is focused on that. So I do see a full pitcher in J.R. Richie. I do see this working out. The real question is how much are the fastballs going to hurt him in the majors? They're not fully cooked yet, but he's 22. And I'm very curious to see him pitch in AAA early this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta pushes him quickly. You should ignore young Carlos Lara, who is also age 22 and in AAA, because he throws hard, 96-97, but bad movement. not the extension you want, not the attack angle you want, and not good vert. It's an empty velocity four seamer. Doesn't even throw it well, doesn't command it. The slider that he pairs it with, which is 55% usage, is just all over the place and not exceptional movement. This is a reliever, not someone you want to go for. Ian Mejia is in AAA with just one game, I believe it is. Age 25. He's also a soft tosser and not nearly as exciting as J.R. Ritchie. He just doesn't have anything that I really want to go for. He can have good command. His slider is his most trusted pitch. It's just not really enough. This is definitely more of a wait and see with Ian Mejia than J.R. Ritchie, who I think is actually more ready to go. There's Owen Murphy, who's an A-plus ball. He's age 22. He's a low-velocity arm. He does have carry on his four-seamer. He's on the right side. And he has a really vicious slider and a mid-70s curve. It doesn't really profile out as too good. I think he needs to gain more velocity and do more with a four-seamer. Can't really just rely on that slider. But there might be something with him being a strike thrower that develops into an innings eater, but I think it's just not going to be effective without more from his four-seamer. There's Cam Caminiti, who's the number one prospect with Atlanta. Nick, why didn't you leave with him? Well, because he's 19, and he just pitched an A-ball. But boy, is he fun. He is a cross-firing lefty. Kind of reminds me of Nick Lodolo. That is, he has his foot in the middle of the rubber and then steps outside on the left side of the rubber, like towards first base. He has a low arm slot. He focuses upstairs with his four-seamer that I've seen him at 97, which is pretty exciting. He's also moved forward with a changeup against right-handers, and that looks like a swatch in training with a slider that is horizontal. Yeah, that's really, really good. He's very exciting. I am curious to see with data if he's good enough with his control, because generally you do see these cross-body guys can be so exciting, but they don't locate well enough to really get enough strikes and to overwhelm batters and put them in those situations where they need to guess at that four-seamer and changeup often. I don't know. He's very young. It's very chaotic. I would be surprised if Atlanta pushed him super fast. But then again, we did say DDA Fuentes get that call very young last year as well. And you never know with Atlanta. So he's absolutely a spec ad the moment he gets the call. Cam Caminiti, who, yes, is the cousin of the late Ken Caminiti. But I would not be expecting him to get the call this year. And DDA Fuentes, who's age 20, has already made his MLB debut, is someone I would absolutely pay attention to. I don't know if he's going to actually come through, but he does have a very intriguing skill set that I feel just was not expressed in his short time. His four-seamer has a 100th percentile flat attack angle, 1.8 height-adjusted VAA. He has a low 29-degree arm angle, which makes his 15 inches of vert good, because that's average vert, but not with his arm angle. So that is more giddy up than you'd expect at 96 miles per hour. And it should earn a lot of whiffs, but it had a 70% ICR and a sub-10% swing strike rate because he didn't locate it quite well. And the sweeper is actually very good because it is a sweeper with a lower arm angle, not like Pivetta's, which is really high. So it should surprise a little bit more. But really, the whole approach of DDA just wasn't well commanded. And I do believe he was tipping just because I don't think batters should have been on top of that four-seamer nearly as much as they were. Throw in the fact that he doesn't really have anything else in the tank. I mean, there is a curveball, and hopefully that does develop to become more of a strike pitch against lefties. And you have an unpolished arm, but the raw skill set of that arm angle with that velocity and above average vert plus a good slider, that is that sweeper, does make me intrigued. So don't give up on DDA Fuentes because he's just age 20, as he'd be very exciting moving forward. All right, that is it for the for Atlanta. Oh, you know what? I lied. There's also Drew Hagenberg. How could I forget him? Age 23 in AA. There is some excitement there. He does have a four-seamer and sinker in the mid-90s, and it could get better over time with those two. He also has a hard low-80s curveball with two-plane movement, and I love seeing that. There's also a cutter and a changeup. And I think it's one of those things where he's developing as he goes. He does love that curveball to go against lefties down and in for whiffs, which is great. I love seeing that. It's kind of like the Aaron Nola, Landon Roop fun. And I am so curious what kind of data we get when he does make the inevitable move to AAA. He's only 23. We should probably see him there this season. Super curious about it. I'm not ready to say that he's worth the spec ad when he does come up, but he is someone I'm certainly monitoring as a possible development highlight that can be worthwhile in fantasy if you were to take that next step forward. All right, that is it for real this time. Thank you all so much for your support. If you saw on Twitter, I am now 100% full-time with Pitcher List, and it's unbelievable. So thank you all so much for your support. Really, it helps massively. I'm probably not going to make myself 100% full-time until March or so, March, April, just because it's always a tumultuous time early in the year, and all of your support, your subscriptions, your sharing of our articles, everything is huge right now. So thank you all so much for supporting us with that. But yeah, this is a new era for me, as I'm not doing a small part-time job on the side anymore. And thank you all so much for allowing me to do this. All right, that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.